This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the Alvarez thing is more about Alvarez than it is about the Mets.
This is Francisco Alvarez of the New York Mets. So you really need to get your head examined.
What is this? BC South back on the fan. Would you have Alvarez record that liner, Hoff, when you were in Port St. Lucie?
I did not. We had that about a week or two ago. I think Ray Martel had that done.
What made him say that? Poor Alvarez, my guy, BT. You know I've had high hopes on Francisco
yes.
Alvarez. Might as well discuss it here right now as it leads into that. And yes, at times, Alvy, I do need to get my head examined. But right now, unfortunately, Alvarez had his hamate examined, and he's out another 6 to 8 weeks. And as we were alluding to earlier, BT, it's more about, to me, Alvarez than it is about the Mets. This does impact the Mets, but minor impact on their season moving forward. I don't care what the numbers said a year ago. And I know how Alvarez receives that staff, how he calls a game. I know the importance of him being there. I think the Mets will be okay without Alvarez in that lineup. I think at this point, though, we're now, what, 3 years into Francisco Alvarez,
yeah.
And he's been nowhere near what the expectations were supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously thrown into the fire when they called him up down in Atlanta back in 2022, and then, you know, had a lot of pop in 2023 and, you know, showed, okay, we thought he was going to really soar from there, even though with a low average. Last year missed a lot of time. The numbers back up. When he's out, they don't win as much. He's good behind the plate. He's an energy guy.
Yep.
You know, it just oozes charisma and excitement. So I do agree, though. I don't think that this really sets the Mets back tremendously as a team. I'm just disappointed to watch his personal growth.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's the thing that I enjoy with young players.
And then also it just goes to show you, again, as we have this conversation many times with the Yankees, you know, all these prospect type guys. Now, he's still young.
He's 23 still.
Yeah, he's 23. So he'll be, you know, he's 24 next season. And again, he's not out for the year. It's 6 to 8 weeks. Okay, fine. Maybe he comes back. But we saw this same thing impact him a year ago where he was looked pretty good, came back from the injury, and just was not the same. So, you know, he's had one good year when he first burst onto the scene. And even that year, he only hit 209. So, like, the power was there.
Mm-hmm.
But you needed to see him take the next step as being a hitter. Last year, you didn't really get a chance to see that because of the injuries and it was a down year. And now this year, already off to a bad start. It's just, these things are so fragile. And we, as in fans and media, don't do these kids any favors by constantly talking about the comparisons and that this guy's going to be this. This is the expectation for this player. This is what he should be. It's almost like we leave them no room but to under-deliver because the ceilings are raised so high before they ever accomplish anything at the big league level.
Well, I think it depends on the player. I mean, there are a lot of players littered throughout baseball that answer the bell. You know, I don't know what they were saying in Kansas City about Witt or in Baltimore about Gunnar Henderson or when Mike Trout first came up or when Bryce Harper first came up or Manny Machado first came up. There's a lot of guys who do match it and do meet it. Now, the others, I know it gets a little hijacked here and there, but I think that's just our desire as New York sports fans. Like, we always want to, you know, we're waiting for the next great thing. And there's probably maybe some misrepresentation of who the player is. And we kind of jump the gun and we say, well, he's this at 18. Why can't he be this at 21? Well, especially in baseball, because the path is very unpredictable. I think Alvarez will be fine. I think he's going to be a good player. Now, if we're sitting here at this point, next year, I still wouldn't give up on the young man as a catcher who's 24 at that point.
What if he can't stay healthy?
Well, then that's different. That is different. And it is a little alarming when it's, you know, basically a non-contact, just swinging a bat in the hamate bone, which has happened to many players. But I would say, Sal, as long as he comes back this year, he's going to miss a couple of the months. The strikeouts go down. The average goes up a little bit. On base a little more. Still has some power. I'm still a believer in Alvarez. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, I love his attitude for sure. I just got to see him be able to. He's actually got to do it. That's kind of the point. This is not a knock on Francisco Alvarez. It's a knock on everybody who puts the cart before the horse, and we do that all the time with these prospects. Spencer Jones, the next greatest thing. Now all of a sudden he's not that good. Jason Dominguez, the Martian. Now all of a sudden he can't catch a fly ball. Volpe, going to be a superstar. Now he's a 250 hitter. Yeah, 20 steals. That's great. Guy's a 250 hitter. Other guys.
I wish he was 250.
Yeah, I know.
It's not 250 yet.
Other guys have emerged around the league, to your point, the guys that you just mentioned as superstars. Doesn't mean that we can't have him. Aaron Judge far exceeded the expectations. The expectations when Judge first came up were nothing like this.
Well, that's the irony. The one guy that we didn't pump up, well, how many 6-7 stars are there? Dave Winfield and who else? The
strikes
one guy
out a lot.
We kind of let him just find his own path, and he actually, look what he became.
But that's kind of the point, right? All the other guys we hype up. It's not our fault.
No.
But as far as the disappointment factor, like, there shouldn't be expectations on these guys who haven't proven anything. You could have hope and be excited about the player's potential.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the expectation and counting on certain players to do certain things at the big league level, that's just foolish.
Well, listen, I think one thing is different here. I'm going to take Jason Dominguez. So Jason was signed, at the age of 16, I believe he was, 16 years old. And when you see a player like that, and I remember seeing the blurb, the Yankees, and I read a little a prospect, 16, like for the Yankees to get whatever the bonus was of their international pool money at the age of 16, you can't help but react like, oh, this kid's got to be a little special. And you follow him a little bit more, and then you learn that he's got all the tools. Now we'll see if he can play every day in the major league level, but he's got the tools. Same with a Japanese player that comes over where we've seen some clips on social media. It's pretty much it. Don't know a lot about him. Just kind of going by scouting reports. I think it depends on if you're a first-round pick or an international signee. But I don't think we do that with guys who are like 12th and 13th round picks. I think we let them go through the normal cycle.
Yeah, I feel like it's always the overhype with these prospects, and now so more than ever. All right, before we get back to the phones, BT, Hoff just told me in my ear, Jimmy Garoppolo off the board. He is going back to the Rams. So Giants' plan D does not won't even go into effect. We don't know if it's going to have to. But if they were going to turn their attention to, if they get spurned by Rodgers and Russell Wilson, the report from Connor Hughes or the thought was that they were going to maybe turn to Jimmy Garoppolo. He is now off the board going back to the Rams.
Good. I do not want to watch him play football this year. At all.
I'm with you. CJ is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, CJ?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I am just listening in, and it's just becoming apparent to me as a Giants fan that the Giants are in a position now after 10 years where, you know, talent now is going to start to look at us and assess us as not good enough, even B and C and D tier talent, like you just said with Garoppolo. And I think, you know, the best thing for the Giants is to find somebody like a Jameis Winston, get him in, have him, you know, have us, you know, have our down year, have him throw a bunch of touchdowns and interceptions, and at least give us some hope of, you know, maybe getting the next, you know, draft pick number one overall.
Now, but hold on, CJ. Now, hold on. So it's a little bit of a contradiction. If you want to do that, and I don't know how many fans would agree, like to punt on the, I'm not saying that it's wrong, but if you're going to do that, why even risk bringing in Jameis Winston and having him throw 30 touchdowns? Like, if you're going to, and I don't like the word tank, but if you want to set yourself up to have access to one of the top quarterbacks next year, just go with Carson Wentz.
Well, I think you still got to get butts in seats, right? Like, people are still paying for a product.
And every seat's bought for the most part, season tickets, you know?
Yeah, but Mara, he's going to want to see something, right? So at the very least, it's get some entertainment, right? Like, we want to have some joy every Sunday. And so I think that's the best, most important thing for the fans And it's probably
do you though, CJ? Because a lot of those same fans were rooting for the team to lose last year. Right or wrong, that was the case. Matter of fact, yeah, the one good game that they had, everybody was going nuts, and they actually won.
Exactly. I thought they should have tanked the past two seasons. But we are in an era where that's apparently anti-sporting, and you know that's not good sportsmanship, and players don't think about tanking it. They don't.
Players don't think that way.
And the owner,
you think that
either.
Way, you're getting carried off the field in a stretcher.
Yeah. Remember, the owner of BT said specifically, "We will never do
he did
that."
Say
like,
that.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
The Giants have been accidentally tanking for the last decade. Like they're not losing games on purpose. They just can't make a good decision to save their football life.
We wish we can give them that compliment that it was all orchestrated. No, they lose because they're not very smart. Listen, or haven't been so far. I would rather have Pete Rose bet on baseball than to have my team tank. Honestly, Pete Rose betting on baseball, which is rule number one in baseball, to bet on his team to win than to be a fan of a team that tanks.
But you, as a fan,
those are two different things.
Right, want to root for a team, and you're not alone. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
But you, as a fan, at times have rooted for your
100%.
Team to lose.
I bet against the Jets. I've told you that.
So what would you
not
like
in October,
to see,
but
what would you like to see from the organization then? Just not play better players? Because you don't want the players on the field or the coaches on the field tanking.
Because to me, when you tank, you are taking away the spirit of everything that the NFL is about.
Right.
I'm not saying that you can't be rewarded on the back end. You might get Tim Duncan. You know, you might also get, you know, Michael Olowokandi or an NFL quarterback like Jamarcus Russell. So there's so many imperfections with tanking. The concept of tanking to me is far more just egregious, even though I lean into it sometimes because I'm willing to roll the dice from a percentage perspective that it will work out favorably for once for my team. But to me, it's more offensive and egregious openly trying to lose than actually having a manager or a coach bet on his team to win.
Yeah, and I think the sport, and we had this conversation during the year, because obviously, unfortunately, again, it continues to come up with the Jets and Giants as far as fans would rather tank to get the better pick than win games. I think the league needs to step in because we as sports fans, you know, have gotten, not just sports fans, but media, whatever, too smart for their own good, where tanking, you and I could have this conversation and we could vehemently disagree, but your logic, BT, in wanting to tank, or fans who agree with that, is not wrong.
Like, no.
How could I argue that today the Giants are in a better spot because they won a game against the Colts than they would have been if they had the number one pick without having to trade up? Like, you can't. So to eliminate that, I think the league needs to take some kind of measures here. I don't care if it's a total random or crapshoot and the lottery, whatever you want to say, even more so. I don't think you can't question the integrity of the sport. And when you have fans openly rooting for their team to lose for the right statistical, analytical reason, it just is not good for anybody, I don't think, involved in the sport.
And it's become far more prevalent. I can't imagine that, like, our father, your dad wasn't a big sports fan, but like fathers of our fathers, that generation, it didn't even enter their realm. You're not sitting on the couch in the 70s worrying about some quarterback at Ole Miss or Kentucky
Bingo.
That the Giants might draft.
Nor should you.
Exactly.
You have no idea. And these drafts are, nobody was talking about Jackson Dart when the Giants were tanking. And now all of a sudden it's like, hey, Jackson Dart moving up the draft boards. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation at 888-808-1019 on the Fan.